next storyteller is Shannon Dunn, a natural storyteller if there ever were one. She's a freelance writer and director of the Johns Hopkins Medical Institution's Office of Cultural Affairs and also a frequent guest at Cinema Sundays, where maybe some of you saw her. And she is neither the Olympic silver medalist snowboarder nor the extra from such films as The Last Action Hero. Now you know that. Don't try to ask her to snowboard or be the last action hero. But here she is with her story.
Good, okay. Hi. To start, I was going to say my New Year's resolution this year was to not say negative things about myself or to complain unless I was directly asked. So I was thinking if anybody wanted to, does anybody want to hear about the bike?
Yes!
Okay. So that counts as asking. So when I was 5, I took my first and only visit to the emergency room. And I'm one of 4 children. I have 3 younger brothers, one of whom is 16 years younger than I am, which means that the first 5 years of my parents' marriage, they was fairly blissful, and then the next 30 involved frequent visits to the emergency room, never with me. The reason I went to the emergency room was I fell off of the back of someone else's bike who was trying to teach me about balance and how to get comfortable riding the bike. And the bike and this other woman fell, well, you know, she's a woman to me, but she's probably 8, fell on top of me and in the driveway, and I'm screaming, and because I have these 2 younger brothers, my mother doesn't get to go with me, so my father has to take me, which was not my first choice, because I wanted my mom to take me. But I'm in the back seat and I'm screaming and I'm crying and I'm bloody and I'm gashed, and I said to my father, you know, he's trying to calm me down, and what do you want, what do you want? And I said, I never want to see that bike ever, ever, ever again. And he says, okay. So the next year, the next spring, all the kids in the neighborhood are, you know, their bikes are coming out, and it's the Schwinn's and the Huffies and the banana seats and the basket with the daisies on it and the tassels. And my father thinks this is a great time to teach me again about the bike and the bike, some bike that we have in the house. I don't know why, because it wasn't just that bike I didn't want to see. I didn't want to see any bikes. And a bike comes out, and my father says, this is great. We're going to do this. And apparently, I looked at him and said, no, you said never again. So my mother kind of looked at this and threw up her hands and said, this is between the two of you to work out. I don't know what's going to happen. So basically, I wouldn't ride a bike. And I can't ride a bike still to this day. I don't ride bikes. Now, people will often ask me, you know, how did you survive? Well, the first thing is I'll tell it in this way, where I'll say, oh, yeah, I can't ride a bike. And people say, oh, that's interesting. That's fascinating. And then later on, the wheels will be turning and you'll see it. And seriously, you can't ride a bike? And I'm like, no. And that, you know, no one can think of more than 2 people that they know that can't ride a bike that are over the age of 6. One of them is always a Latvian aunt who's got a thing. And then the other is like, well, my uncle, you know, Edgar, but he's kind of... And I'm like, yeah, yeah, anyway, I'll be walking with them. So the reason that... So people always ask me, how did you survive between 6 and 16? And I was lucky because a movie came out when I was 10 called Xanadu, starring Olivia Newton-John. And it was about this group of space aliens that inspired the creation of this roller disco. And I was able to convince the kids in my neighborhood, just when it was becoming critical that I be able to have, you know, freedom of motion, I kind of was able to convince them that riding bikes was kind of flash in the pan. People weren't going to be doing it. The wave of the future, roller skating in packs, preferably to music. And that was going to be the way to go. So, and in that way, that my neighborhood had a gang of bike riders. I mean, I'm sorry, of roller skaters when they should have had a gang of bike riders. So that was my first sort of foray into peer pressure, and it was kind of heady. It's delicious. So the bike became sort of a non-issue, a psychological torture, but it kind of dropped itself. When I was 20, I was living in New York, and I was in college, and my father called me out of nowhere and said, I'm going to be in town, and I have a business meeting, and I'd like to have dinner with you after the meeting. What do you think? I said, this is great. And it was strange. He'd never done this before. We kind of don't have that kind of relationship, but it didn't seem that weird to me, mainly because what he didn't know was that I was planning on dropping out of college in the next 2 weeks. And this was kind of a great fortuitous opportunity for me to tell him that. What I didn't know was that he and my mother were planning on getting divorced and that he was going to tell me about that. And I truly believe that this meeting, because we were both so kind of tied up in this, kind of what to that moment had been the biggest failure, I guess, of both of our lives, that we didn't talk about that. And we ended up not going out, I guess because there are no good restaurants in Manhattan. So we end up in this bar in the Bronx splitting a thing of wings and having drinks. And he then opens up and says, I think the problem with all of your problems have come from the fact that I never made you get back on the bike. And my reaction to this was, that's not true. That's not true! It's not true! So maybe it was a little more true than I had thought. I don't want the thunder. Anyway, I didn't ride the bike. 5 years go by, 6 years go by, and I decide that my next spiritual home is truly Boulder, Colorado, to live in the mountains. And so in preparation for this, I grew my hair long, I saved up some money, told my family I was moving, I needed to go live in the mountains because that's where, even though I'm from the East Coast and I don't belong in the mountains. And so for Father's Day, which was 1 month before my trip, I went out and had dinner with my father and my three brothers. And before dinner, my brother Patrick, the baby, who's now at this point, he's 9, I'm 25, and he says, hey, do you want to go ride bikes before dinner? I guess he didn't know. But it was this sort of thing I thought everybody knew. And I said, I can't ride bikes. And Patrick says, it's easy, I'll show you. And he's like, it's easy, I'll show you. So we go out, and we're in the sort of the cul-de-sac, and he's given me his little bike because I'm too scared to ride the big bike and because my feet won't touch the ground. And we're going round and round, and eventually I'm just going, and I'm going, and he's yelling, and he's yelling, you're riding, and I'm yelling, go get daddy! And all of the neighbors are out. So everything is great, and I ride the bike, and then we go and have dinner, and in the middle of dinner, my father says, this is going to be so great. Tomorrow we're going to REI, and I'm going to buy you a mountain bike, and you're going to be able to ride your bike in the mountains of Colorado. Now, I was new to the bike, but I was not as new to the idea of the scary mountains of Colorado with snakes and bears and big rocks that I was going to hit, and I thought, if I fall there, no one's coming to get me. I'm never getting back on that bike. And I kind of dropped it. Now, as of last week, this story did not have an ending, and I was going to wipe out, which appropriately. But on Sunday, I was talking to my father, and I said, oh, I have to do this weird thing where I tell this embarrassing story, and I'm trying to not be such a failure. And I said, I'm going to tell a thing about not being able to ride the bike. And he says, you can ride a bike. And I said, no, I can't, because remember, I can't. He said, yeah, you can. He said, I've seen you ride the bike. He said, that's it. There's nothing to riding the bike. You get on the bike, you pedal it, you ride it. You make the decision. If you want to keep riding, that's up to you. But as for abilities, you've got it. You can ride a bike. And I guess the way I think of it, which is the way I sort of think of it in this context of failure, is that I kind of hold on to the bike as my thing because feeling like it's my thing, it's my failure, it's my thing that I can't do, and you can't make me do this. And it's kind of great. I mean, it's such a familiar feeling because no matter how many people tell you you're great, no matter how many, you know, how beautiful you looked at the mayor's press conference, it's the feeling of failure is so much more familiar and kind of comforting than the failure of success. And I guess it comes back so fast, and it's the way that people always tell me that it is when you get back on a bike. So.